Princess Nadia had been accused by the yacht's doctor of having caused the death of Onda by poisoning him. Chandler, convinced of her innocence, takes Nadia back to the cabin where Onda's death occurred. He discovers that the cigarettes in the carved box have been tampered with. This leads to the discovery that the poison was intended not for Onda, but for Nadia herself. As Chandler runs up on deck to find the captain, he finds that the disabled yacht has been sighted by a liner. And the present act opens aboard the liner the following night.
Chandu, the magician.
Costume party on the boat coming home from Egypt, isn't it, Betty?
Yes, isn't it? The costumes are awfully pretty, aren't they?
Yeah, kind of. Gee, that's kind of funny sitting here practically at a dance when I think of poor old Andre, don't you?
Oh, yes. Isn't it terrible? He was so nice. But you know, Bob, he was just like people you read about in the book. There was something about that curse. I'm sure there was.
Oh, now, how could there be?
Well, I think there was. Because, you know, you read lots of times about people that just have bad luck or something follow them around all their lives.
Yeah, just imagine.
Imagine. Look what happened to him. Uncle Frank said if he just hadn't happened to go in there to talk to Nancy that night, sure that poison would have been in those cigarettes. Anybody might have picked one up and smoked it. It certainly seems this fate or something was against him, doesn't it?
Seems that way, but I don't believe it. And I don't think you do either. I think you're just letting it get you.
No. I just wonder if there might be such a thing as there being one of those curses on us.
Why, Betty Lou Regent, if you aren't the absolute limit, what are you talking about?
Well, you know, you've read about women in ancient days that were kind of fatal to people or something.
You don't mean you think you're one of those people? You make me laugh.
Well, what about Abdallah, and what about Roxor, and Dr. Shaw, and Dimitri?
I suppose you think all those people just kicked off because they knew you.
Oh, I don't mean exactly that, Bob. But people do seem to die all over the place wherever we are.
Well, it's not because you've got some fatal fascination or something.
Oh, I don't mean that.
And besides, even if Dimitri did jump into the ocean, we don't know that he's dead.
Why, Bob, we do too. Oh, I couldn't bear it if I thought we'd ever see him again.
Well, don't get all dithery. You never will, because I bet he'll never want to come within 10 miles of Uncle Frank again, even if he is alive.
Oh, Bob, don't even talk about him being alive. I just can't. Please don't,
Bob. Well, okay. You sit there and look like you're scared to death. People will think I'm sticking pins into you or something. Let's go back to the stern of the boat and see how the yacht looks.
All right. It's funny that you tell a great big yacht like this, doesn't it?
Yeah. Gee, I thought it was keen the way they put those hawsers on it and everything.
What's a hawser?
It's a big rope.
Why don't you say rope, then? Come on, shall we go back and look at the yacht? How many people did they leave on it?
Oh, about 6, I think. You know what, Betty? They were talking about burning it up if they couldn't tow it.
burning up that big, beautiful yacht?
Yeah, because they can't leave it floating around in the ocean where it might bump into other ships and maybe sink them.
I never heard of such a thing. This is like burning down a person's house.
They were going to if they couldn't have towed it. Pete's sake, what's the matter with you?
I can't help thinking what you said about Dr. Dmitri jumping into the ocean. Maybe he's not dead after all.
Why, Betty?
Oh, Uncle Frank, where were you? I didn't see you.
I was coming in to look for you, and I happened to hear what you said. Do you mean Finjan? I didn't know you knew about him.
Finjan? We were talking about Dmitri.
You mean, Uncle Frank? You mean Finjan jumped overboard? Well, since I've given it away, yes, he did.
When?
Just as we were all leaving the yacht.
We must have been already over here, huh, Uncle Frank?
Yes. The captain thought it wouldn't be necessary to have Finjan put in irons because he was an old man and presumably quite feeble. But just as he was about to step into the boat, we rowed across here to the liner, he turned back and jumped into the water. He must have gone down at once, because they could find no trace of him.
Was that what made you so long?
Yes.
Well, why do you suppose he did that?
I wonder if he was the one that...
At least we know he knew something about the whole thing.
Oh, I think that's awesome. Well, Andre said that Bignan had been with his family for... Why, he said he was with his grandfather, didn't he?
No, he said his father.
No, even if he did say his father, isn't that terrible?
Listen, Betty. Will you and Bob go below and get your mother and Archie? I don't like to have them sitting down there in the cabin.
Of course we'll go. Come on, Bob. I'm glad to go away anyway. But here comes that old Dr. Willoughby. Ever since he suspected Nadia's killing Andre, I can't bear it. Come on, Bob. Let's go.
Okay.
Ah, there you are, Mr. Chandler. I've been looking for you.
Shall we sit here? What was it you wanted?
I've been thinking of Finjan and the things he apparently said to Princess Nagi. Do you know what they were?
I heard one of the two of the things he said. Why?
I would like very much to know the reason why Princess Nagi is so averse to landing at Suva.
I don't know, I'm sure, Dr. Willoughby. But we're going back to California on the first boat leaving Suva after we land. According to the captain, there should be a Canadian observation liner in 3 days.
You wonder why I mention these things, no doubt, Mr. Chandler.
Not at all.
I've become very much interested in such things during my long residence in the East.
What do you mean by such things?
Oh, mental quirks, such as this one of Princess Nagy's about hating to land at Suva. I've gone pretty thoroughly into a lot of the Eastern customs, you know. By the way, it's odd that they should come up here at the moment, but I've just remembered that I used to hear a good many curious things about a man with the same name as yours.
In India?
Yes. He was an American, it appeared, too. Did you ever have any relatives living in the Far East?
Not that I know of.
They used to say of this Chandler that he learned a lot of lot of strange things from yogi teachers. And he was said to have been remarkably successful in all sorts of occult practices.
That's so?
Yes. A man named Soma used to speak to Andra's father about this Chandler. Are you sure it couldn't have been a relative of yours?
Quite sure. By the way, have you sent a wireless to Andra's father?
Yes, but it will be several days before he gets word, even so. Because he's in the interior and the mail service is very irregular. Oh, here comes your sister and the princess now. Your Highness, we were just speaking of you.
Good evening, Doctor.
How do you do? Would you mind telling me, Your Highness, just what it was Finjan said to you the day he pretended to predict the future for you?
I think you're very unwise, Dr. Willoughby, to question Her Highness about this at this time.
Oh, I don't insist that she answer the question if she'd rather not.
I have nothing to conceal. Or any reason to wish to conceal from you what you ask. Finjan said to me that in the days to come, a princess of Egypt would look upon her own dead face.
Look here, Dr. Willoughby. This has gone far enough. I must insist that you at least wait until morning before asking her any more questions. You can see for yourself how disturbed she is.
Very well.
I know what let's do, Nagy. Let you and Bob and me walk around and see the costumes. It'll be something to do anyway.
Yeah, come on, Nazi, why don't you? Don't just sit here and think about...
Don't you want to, Nazi?
You like Betty Lou?
Oh, we don't mean to dance or anything, but just walk around and look at people and kind of get your mind off your troubles. Okay, Uncle Frank?
Yes, of course. Your mother and I will wait here for you.
And of course, on an evening like this, I can say.
Oh, the George Washington.
Yeah, do you suppose he brought that costume with him? Boy, I bet that wig's hot.
The crowd is very great.
Yes. You can't even see the people in the orchestra. There's so many people standing around the piano. What are they doing?
Oh, I bet somebody's going to sing. You know, they always have somebody at these costume parties that has to sing.
Well, I think that's pretty. Let's stop and listen.
It is a song of Egypt.
Yes.
Have you not heard it when you were in Cairo?
I think I have. Isn't it kind of a desert song? I mean, don't those desert people sing?
Yes, Betty Lou.
Well, the people are moving away from the piano now. We can probably see the man.
I suppose he was a passenger or one of the orchestras.
Oh!
Well, look, Najee. It's Bean John.
No. No, Bob.
Well, he's dressed just like him.
But this man is young.
Except that he is so young. It might be Vignon himself.
It can't be Vignon. Vignon jumped overboard off the yacht. Didn't you know that, Najee?
Oh, but we must... Oh, let's go call Uncle Frank.
Well, let's go and grab him and take him out where Uncle Frank is.
Oh, we are too late, Bob. He has heard you. Look, he is going through the window that opens on the deck.
Come on. I'll chase him and you go and get Uncle Frank. He's certainly got Vignon's clothes on. Hurry up now. Hurry up. I'll catch him and stick him right there.
Oh, all right. Uncle Frank! Uncle Frank!